Today is Thursday, March 5th, and this is the World Socialist Website. American Imperialism, Wages War of Extermination Against Iran, a statement of the WSWS editorial board. As the war enters its fifth day, the U.S.-Israeli assault on Iran has assumed ever more openly the character of a war of annihilation and extermination. The sinking of an Iranian vessel, more than 3,000 kilometers from Iran, carried out in international waters on Wednesday, is the latest act in a boundless campaign of destruction that recognizes no legal or geographic restraint. The vessel had 180 people on board, and the Sri Lankan Navy rescued 32 people, meaning that 148 people were killed. In the opening days of the war, the United States and Israel murdered a large section of the Iranian leadership, including Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Tehran and other cities have been hammered by repeated air attacks. Hospitals have been hit. A girls' elementary school in Manab was struck, killing over 150 children, part of a death toll that has already passed 1,000. There is a repeated refrain in the media that Trump does not have a strategy. This is a lie. There is a strategy. The obliteration of Iran as a state in a campaign of terror against the population. The methods pioneered by the United States and Israel in Gaza are now being scaled up from an enclave of 2 million people to a country of more than 90 million. This is the next stage in an expanding global offensive, following the assault on Venezuela and the strangulation of Cuba, in which the United States, utilizing its bought and paid for attack dog Israel, seeks to break up and subjugate any society that resists imperialist domination. Civilian casualties are not a byproduct of military objectives. Mass murder is the aim. On Wednesday, the White House published a video that opens with imagery drawn from the Call of Duty video game franchise, then shifts into a remix of infrared strike footage, American bombs detonating across Iran, edited like a highlight reel. After the kills, a score flashes on the screen. That is, the success of the U.S.-Israeli operation will be determined by how many people are slaughtered. Every statement made by Trump and his Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is saturated with criminality and the language of fascism. On Wednesday, Hegseth gave a news briefing in which he gloated over the slaughter. He said, quote, "We are punching them while they're down, which is exactly how it should be." He promised, quote, "Death and destruction from the sky all day long, waged, quote, decisively, devastatingly, and without mercy," unquote. Hegseth sadistically tallied the dead. Quote, "Iran's senior leaders are dead. The so-called governing council that might have selected a successor, dead," unquote. And he made clear, "The killing will not stop. Quote, we will find them and we will kill them," unquote. Hegseth announced plans for a saturation bombing campaign against the entire Iranian people. Quote, "With complete control of the skies, we will be using 500-pound, 1,000-pound, and 2,000-pound GPS and laser-guided precision gravity bombs, of which we have a nearly unlimited stockpile." He gloated over the sinking of the Iranian ship in the Indian Ocean, a clear violation of international law. In a Pentagon briefing the day before, Hegseth boasted that there will be, quote, "no stupid rules of engagement," unquote. This is a statement that international law does not apply. It is a declaration of intent to wage war as the Nazis did. The fascistic character of this war is being reinforced through the systematic infusion of Christian nationalist propaganda. The Guardian reports that commanders are urging troops to be told that the war against Iran is, quote, "all part of God's divine plan," unquote, and citing the Book of Revelation and Armageddon. According to one complaint from a soldier, troops were told that Trump had been, quote, "anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and mark his return to Earth," unquote. That is, to trigger apocalyptic events through systematic extermination. The European powers are eager accomplices in this unfolding war of extermination. German Chancellor Merz, standing beside Trump at the White House Tuesday, declared, quote, "We are on the same page in terms of getting this terrible regime in Tehran away," unquote. Britain has deployed F-35 fighters. NATO Secretary General Rutte declared the bombing did not violate international law. The Democratic Party, while quibbling over procedure, parrots the talking points of the Trump administration and facilitates this genocidal war. The Senate vote Wednesday on a war powers resolution was a political charade from the start, designed not to stop the war, but to provide a fig leaf for their support of it. At a House Democratic leaders' press conference Wednesday, every speaker echoed the administration's talking points. Representative Ted Lieu denounced, quote, "a murderous theocratic regime," unquote. Representative Houlihan declared, quote, "I don't mourn those leaders," unquote. Representative Goodlander called Iran, quote, "a brutal and determined enemy, a regime that has the blood of our fellow Americans on its hands," unquote. All of this demonstrates that the war against Iran is not an improvisation dreamed up in Trump's head. It is the final iteration of a chain of imperialist wars launched over the last 35 years. The Gulf War, the decade-long sanctioned siege of Iraq, the 2003 invasion and occupation, the war in Afghanistan, the destruction of Libya, the CIA-backed regime change operation in Syria, the expansion of U.S. operations across the Middle East, and the ongoing genocide in Gaza. What unites these crimes is a single counter-revolutionary aim: to undo and reverse the setbacks suffered by imperialism in the 20th century as a result of the revolutionary and anti-colonial movements of the oppressed masses. Secretary of State Marco Rubio spelled out this reactionary program last week. Speaking at the Munich Security Conference, he declared that ever since the end of World War II, that is, since the defeat of the Nazis, the, quote, "Great Western Empires," unquote, had entered into, quote, "terminal decline, accelerated by godless communist revolutions and by anti-colonial uprisings," unquote. The imperialist powers, he lamented, had been, quote, "shackled by guilt and shame," unquote, and by casting off these restraints, the, quote, "West Age of Dominance," unquote, could be resurrected. In his press conference on Wednesday, Hegseth ranted about 47 years, a reference to the Iranian Revolution of 1979, which overthrew a U.S.-backed dictatorship and shattered Washington's direct control over the Persian Gulf. American imperialism is now determined to exact payback against Iran by reasserting imperialist dominion over one of the world's most strategic regions. There is no dividing line that confines these methods to one battlefield or one people. The same methods will be employed everywhere imperialism encounters resistance: Cairo and Karachi, Nairobi and Lagos, Istanbul and Jakarta, Moscow and Beijing, Seoul and Manila, Mexico City and Johannesburg. Workers in America, in Germany, in Britain, and in all the imperialist countries see their own future in the streets of Tehran. Within the United States, this foreign policy gangsterism is inseparable from the assault on democratic rights and the erection of a presidential dictatorship, a government that claims the right to murder foreign leaders and wage war without law will not tolerate opposition at home. The methods of violence and murder already employed in Minneapolis are being readied for broader use against all resistance to the dictates of the corporate and financial oligarchy. The very brutality of the assault expresses an element of desperation. A ruling class that cannot secure its aims through political means turns to mass murder to intimidate and break resistance. But this war will not crush the Iranian people. Each day this war continues deepens anger and outrage among workers and youth throughout the world, and within the United States itself. Outrage, however widespread, is not enough. The decisive question is the development of a political perspective, a conscious program, and the independent mobilization of the international working class, the only social force capable of stopping the descent into barbarism. The World Socialist website will hold an emergency global webinar this Sunday, March 8th at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, to explain the origins of this war, the social forces driving it, and the strategy required to stop it. We urge all readers to distribute this statement as widely as possible, attend the meeting, and help build a conscious, organized movement against imperialist war and dictatorship. Asian Markets Take Major Hit from War Against Iran, by Nick Beams. So far, the reaction on the European and U.S. stock markets to war on Iran has been described as benign. But yesterday saw a very different situation in the Asian markets, most dependent on supplies of oil from the Middle East and heavily impacted by the price spike resulting from the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, through which passes one-fifth of global supply. South Korea was at the center of the storm. South Korean stocks fell by 12% yesterday, in the largest one-day drop recorded, eclipsing falls in the 2008 crisis. Since last Friday, the fall in the Kospi Index has been 20%, after it had risen by 50% since the start of the year, on the back of the belief that South Korea and its chip-making firms would benefit from the development of artificial intelligence, or AI. The spike in oil prices had a major effect, because South Korea is the world's eighth-largest importer of crude. The downturn was led by market heavyweight Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, two of the world's biggest chip-makers, which account for nearly 40% of the Kospi Index. Another factor appears to be forced selling, as a result of the unraveling of leveraged bets, stock purchases financed by debt, which had been made to try to ride the previous market surge. Bloomberg reported there had been a lot of buying on credit in the heavyweight stocks, with investors only putting down 30 to 40% on the margin and financing the rest through credit. The sell-off was not confined to South Korea. Thailand's market dropped 8% for the day. The fall was so sharp that at one point, trading was suspended for 30 minutes. Thailand is sensitive to higher energy costs, as many of its manufacturing firms, facing stiff competition from rivals, operate on low profit margin. The Thai tourist industry, a key component of the economy, is also threatened by the disruption to airline travel. The market sell-off went across Asia. The Japanese market was down by 3.7%, Taiwan by 4.4%, and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell by nearly 3%. Major economies of the region, such as Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan, are highly vulnerable to any disruption to the flow of oil and natural gas from the Middle East, now under threat of being severely restricted because of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Some 90% of oil exports to Japan come through the strait. South Korea depends on the Middle East for 70% of its crude oil imports, and some 60% of Taiwan's oil and a third of its gas comes through the strait. These figures and yesterday's market reaction in Asia underscore one of the strategic objectives of the U.S. war against Iran. The war is not just directed against Tehran. U.S. imperialism aims to take control of Middle East oil supplies as part of its preparation for military conflict with China and to assert its global dominance. Markets in Europe and the U.S. have yet to react violently to the launching of war. There has been some turbulence, but so far less than experienced last April, when U.S. President Trump launched his sweeping so-called reciprocal tariffs. Speaking at a business conference in Sydney, organized by the Australian Financial Review earlier this week, Goldman Sachs Chief Executive David Solomon said he was surprised that global markets had not reacted more violently, at least so far. He said, quote, I look at the market reaction and I'm actually surprised. I think the market reaction has been more benign given the magnitude of this than you might think. That will be the case until it isn't. And there's a cumulative effect of everything that's happening, and you get a much harsher reaction. Included in the list of everything that's happening, the spike in oil prices, the threat of a global inflation surge, the prospect that central banks will cease cuts to interest rates and may start to raise them, and the ongoing job cuts as a result of the development of AI, is the increasing concern about the stability of the private equity and private credit system. The main focus of Wall Street is on Blue Owl Capital, which last month permanently restricted cash withdrawals from one of its funds. Since then, in the words of a recent article in the New York Times, it has, quote, been trying to convince investors that its $300 billion portfolio of investments and loans is actually worth what Blue Owl says, unquote. Not with a great deal of success, it appears. Its share price has fallen below the initial issue price of $10 when the asset manager went public in 2021, bringing the loss to 50% over the last 12 months. The share prices of other asset managements, including Blackstone, Apollo, KKR, and Ares, are also down, with the Apollo chief Mark Rowan warning of a shakeout in the private markets. The Times noted that, despite conference calls, media interviews, and news releases, Blue Owl did not appear to have resolved its problems and, quote, its efforts to do so may have contributed to worries that Wall Street is on the precipice of a broad new credit crisis. There are two underlying problems. The first is that the money, which flowed into private equity funds from major financial institutions, including insurance firms, has been drying up in the recent period, and they have had to rely more on so-called retail investors. Unlike institutional investors, who tend to lend long in line with the investments of the private equity firms, these investors want quick and easy access to their money, setting up the classic scenario for financial problems where money is supplied short-term but used for long-term investments which cannot be easily liquidated. The second problem is even more significant. Much of the investment by the private equity funds has been in the software sector, financing deals, mergers, and takeovers. It has been estimated that such deals have accounted for almost a third of all private loans over the past decade. But software firms and their backers in private equity are under threat from the development of AI. Some of them may collapse. Last month, analysts at UBS warned that private credit could see default rates rise to as high as 15% if AI triggered an aggressive disruption for corporate borrowers. Reporting on this analysis, Bloomberg said warnings about the $1.8 trillion market had, quote, been building, with some comparing to the 2008 financial crisis. Others have dismissed this analysis as overdone. The head of the Ares Group, Mike Arrighetti, said the UBS warning on the possibility of a 15% default rate was, quote, absolutely wrong, but did acknowledge that some firms may not survive. He said, quote, if you're talking about 15% default rates, which, again, I think is not possible, but if you're there, everything else in your portfolio, I assure you, is going to be completely torched. No one has a crystal ball of prediction, but the UBS analysis points to inherent instability of the financial system, and yesterday's dramatic plunge in the Korean stock market, which had been the world's highest performer so far this year, indicates how fast things can change. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.